Class is back in session. It's time for Baptist Basics University from BaptistBasics.org.
That's right. It's once again time for Baptist Basics University. I am Matthew Gage, and this is the start of our new series. A little bit overdue. I'm a little bit behind. I did really good and was releasing them once a week, finishing up our Bible survey series, and then family issues and some health issues and stuff. Allergy season kind of kicked in, so my voice wasn't in great shape for recording if I had a chance to. So a little bit behind, but I apologize for that. But here I am. We're finally getting back at it with our new series that I'm going to call Bible History and Customs. And in this series, what I'm going to do is just spend some time, and I haven't really decided exactly what I want to do. I've got some of the notes prepared, but not a lot of them. And what I'd like to do is just do 10, maybe 12 tops lessons on different historical or cultural topics that will help you to understand the Bible better. For instance, we were going to deal with in this lesson, we're going to talk about an outline of history and chronology and stuff. Talk about some dates about when things happened. I'm going to devote an entire lesson to the Jewish calendar, how they calculated time and everything. I'm going to do one probably on food and clothing. I'll do one on languages. I want to talk a little bit about family life and education, marriage, and stuff like that in the Jewish culture back, not modern days, but try to go back to the time of Christ more than anything else, just to give you an idea of how Jews lived and worshipped and how their society worked. I'm going to do a whole lesson on coins and money. That's something, if you go to my website, I've got a few articles about that. I haven't collected as much recently, but I do. I'll still say in the present tense that I do collect, ancient coins. I haven't bought one in a while. The prices have kind of gone up, but it's something that I do enjoy looking into. Haven't as much lately, but I'm gonna do a whole lesson on that and kind of explain how the different systems work, and do a lesson talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, kind of explaining what's going on with them. I'm going to do one on warfare, how they fought, and kind of how that would have evolved over time. So I think we're going to keep it very interesting, and hopefully keep it very interesting and very informative as we cover all these different topics. And I'm really looking forward to this, and even though I'm running behind on recording, I hadn't had a whole lot of time to devote to even producing the my notes, so I'm a little bit behind on that also, but I do have a couple done, so we're going to go ahead and do those. Probably, if time holds out, I'm going to try to record them both right now, but anyway, at least for now, we're going to do this one, and this is going to be lesson number one in our Bible History and Customs series, and we're going to title it Outline of Biblical History. And what we're going to deal with in this lesson is basically just trying to put things in order of when they happened and try to get some proper context for how long things took and the space of time between different events. And now this is by no means going to be exhaustive. We're just going to be able to hit the high points, and really, I just want to give you a good idea. I can't go through and explain, every king, King so and so ruled from this year to this year, and King so and so ruled from this year to this year, and then this battle took place in this year, and we can't go that far into it. If you want to research it more, you can go in and do that. Now, let me go ahead and say, and get this out of the way, that there is a lot, and I mean a lot, of debate surrounding dates and setting up a chronology of the Bible. A lot of very good, very brilliant minds have attempted to put dates on things and really researched it, probably the most famous is James Usher. And I do usually use his dates, just his guesses are as good as anybody's, and his are fairly well accepted, or no, I don't want to say accepted, but they've pretty much permeated out as being kind of reliable. But like the Scofield Study Bible has those dates in there, and you know they're going to be close in most cases on big events. There's not a lot of research that's really just the, you know, change the date of a battle by 100 years. They may have decided, well, it may have been 2 or 3 years earlier or later or something like that. But for the most part, it'll give you a good idea. And, you know, it's one of those things. Does it really matter that it happened in 500 BC or 501 BC? It might, but to the casual reader, it really makes not a bit of difference. And to a serious student, does it make a big difference? And the answer is going to be no. So all we're going to do is just give some dates, take them with a grain of salt. I've tried to research these and come up with a decent outline. Most of the Old Testament events I do follow Usher's chronology on. The New Testament, I think he might be a little bit off for some various reasons, so I may not be quite following him with biblical events during that time period for some various reasons. I don't want to get into it, but I just think it's crazy to say, you know, this event, you know, 2,000, 5,000 years ago happened at this time, at this date, at this exact year. For a bunch of reasons. And number one, you know, there's a whole lot of time. Number two, there is a lot of differences in how time is calculated. And we're going to deal with this in another lesson. I don't know if I may move it up and be lesson two because I've got the notes pretty well done on it. But there's going to be a lesson following on the Jewish calendar, and we'll explain how it doesn't work like the modern calendar. In fact, ancient calendars were much different, and our modern calendar really only dates back to the 1700s. In fact, the world kind of changed from what's called the Julian calendar, which had its roots all the way back to, you know, the time of like Julius Caesar, and way back there. They switched to what's called the Gregorian calendar, which is more accurate. We know that the Earth revolves around the sun in 365 and about a quarter days. So, you know, we've been able to calculate that now. Well, we're talking some of these ancient cultures would have calendars that were based on lunar cycles, which could be like 29 or 30 days. That's the way the Jewish calendar works. Some, you know, the Caesars could just decide, hey, you know, we like ourselves so much, let's make a whole month of the year just for us. And they just put another month in there. So, you know, just arbitrarily do that. So, you know, the calendars weren't meant to be, you know, precise in their measurement of time. They were just kind of to make sure that, you know, religious festivals and, you know, kind of give some semblance to order through the years. And I say it's kind of hard to do. 365 and a quarter days, it doesn't divide out very well. You know, in our modern calendar, we have a leap year. Well, in some ancient calendars, including the Jewish calendar, they have leap months because of the lunar calendar to keep things straight. And it gets really crazy. And I'm going to deal with just the Jewish calendar. But then think about it. In the case of like the Jewish calendar, how do we know how many of those years they had leap months? Now, there's a pretty standardized system that they use today, but how do we know they had that, you know, back 3,000 years ago? Do we know they were using that same system? And, you know, we can just kind of guess. Well, we might can figure out a Jewish date, but then how does that correspond to, you know, the Julian calendar, then how does that correspond to the Gregorian calendar? And it just gets crazy and mind-boggling. A lot of the people that really get really in-depth into the chronology will go by phases of the moon or try to date it by, you know, appearances of Halley's Comet or something like that, that they can really, you really can nail down eclipses and things like that, that they can really calculate very precise times. But the thing is even, say, like Halley's Comet, I think it comes around like every 74 years, something like that. I don't remember exactly now. But even take Halley's Comet. And, you know, it wasn't called Halley's Comet until just, you know, recently in human history. So we can just assume if Julius Caesar wrote about seeing, you know, this comet before a battle or something in the heavens in the sky, you know, we can assume, well, maybe that's Halley's Comet. Well, we don't know. There's not a picture of it. We can't really compare. It could be Halley's Comet. It might be another comet. It might be something totally different. So there's a lot that goes on. This just supposition and best guess. So I am presenting all this as just, I think I'm close. And we'll go from there. Okay, let me talk about some of the ways we try to calculate some of these dates. One of the easiest ways is to take ages and reigns and stuff like that in the Bible and try to add them up. You know, the Bible will say, you know, we'll just say Joe was born and he lived, you know, 50 years and begat Bob, and Joe lived to be 90 years old and died, and then Bob, when he was 40 years old, had Carl, and Bob lived to be 85 years old. And that's just kind of, you know, when you read the genealogy, especially back like in Genesis, that's the way it reads. Well, what they would do is just add up those different time periods and say, okay, well, oh, he was 50 when the kid was born, so that means there's 50 years from his birth to the birth of, you know, birth of Joe to the birth of Bob. So we know that there's a 50-year span right there. Now, that's not really scientific. I mean, that's not to the minute or to the day or to the month, but it is kind of within maybe a year or so. So it's got a little bit of accuracy to it. Take reigns, for instance. It's generally accepted you have, you know, Saul, David, and Solomon all reign for 40 years. Well, there might be a little bit of overlap in different things, but we can calculate, well, that's about 120 years. So we assume, you know, that 120 years passed from the coronation of Saul to the death of Solomon. So, you know, we can work out different things like that, you know, just using math. We can also try to correlate something in the Bible to a secular event and try to date it like that. If a king is mentioned in the Bible that was, say, that, you know, the and it's given a name, say like Nebuchadnezzar, and we can maybe use, you know, see where he pops up in the history in the Bible, then we can maybe go over and look at Babylonian history and come up with a date through their calendar. And maybe they have a date in their calendar or way to calculate it back, you know, through their records. And we can kind of check and see, well, hey, you know, this matches. Well, you know, maybe we can calculate, well, this guy was king, you know, 500 BC, and he's mentioned in the Bible here. So this must mean that this passage, you know, is from around that period. You know, we can do things like that and kind of get an idea. And then I also talked about, you know, using like comets and eclipses and things like that to calculate time. And it, you know, let's say there's been a lot of brilliant men spend some time on this. Guys, I think Isaac Newton spent some time dealing with this. This was very much in vogue as a science or a, not a science, but a study in times past. But, as I say, the ones you hear a lot nowadays in Bible study tools, and even Wikipedia a lot of times will even say, you know, this is the Usher date. And James Usher's chronology, it's very well researched. You can actually buy the book. It's got a lot of history in it. And not just biblical history, but, you know, like Roman and Greek and secular, quote-unquote, history in it. And it's like his guess is as good as anybody's. It's public domain here in the United States. Everybody can copy it with, you know, no threat of copyright violation lawsuits. So it's pretty well out there when you get into reference works in the Christian realm and even in the secular realm to an extent. The secular realm will usually look at it with a little bit more, I don't want to say contempt, but skepticism. And when they deal with the Usher date, but anyway, it's as good a guess as anybody's. So what I want to do is I've just got a list, and this podcast probably the notes may be a little bit more of a help to you than I'm just going to be reading a list here of some events that happened and give you some approximate dates. Most of the Old Testament, the BC dates are going to be Usher. And then the New Testament, I kind of do my own thing a little bit with those. I've got scripture references for these if you want to look them up. I tried to hit just some major events and try to get some things and fill in some gaps between some major events just to give you an idea of the time period and give you an idea as you're reading your Bible. Not that it's important that you know, well, David reigned probably between these years, but just to give you a sense of how long ago it was, you know, how long it really was between David and Christ. And the answer is a little over 1,000 years. So, you know, that kind of gives you some perspective on the span of the Bible. So here we go. Let's just go in here and we'll start. First group of events we're going to look at, we're going to call the Old Testament period. And these will be events covered from Genesis to Malachi. We have creation, number one. Now, Usher's date is 4004 BC. That's assuming, you know, creation was literal days, which I believe. I'm a young earth creationist. That's what I believe. He dates it to 4004 BC, and he actually gets a date in an hour, and I wouldn't put any stock in that at all. And even the 4004 date, you know, that's a good guess. It could be off. It could be off by quite a bit. We're not really sure, but that'll give us an idea. That makes the earth about 6,000 years old, and that's a pretty standard for, you know, the young earth creationist perspective. Now, you can say, well, I believe in, you know, that those days were figurative and are spans of time, and actually each of those lasted 1,000 years. And you can say, well, the earth is actually, you know, I don't know, 10,000, 12,000 years old. That's, you know, whatever you want to do. The creation date of all the dates on here is going to be one that I'm going to tell you what I think, and that's a good guess, as good as anybody's, about when creation was. And you can come up with your own opinion on that. You can go back and add up all the dates and see if you can figure it out yourself. But somewhere 4,000 around there, we'll guess, is when creation took place. About 4,000 BC. You can read about that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The flood, Noah and the ark. This Usher's date, 2349 BC, we'll just go that way. 2349 BC is the date the Usher gives to the flood. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. So we can see already there that there has been about 1700 years from creation to the flood. All of that time period is covered in Genesis chapters 1 through 6. You know, that's just like having five chapters. Think about having five chapters of the Bible, that size history, from us back to Constantine. And that is, you know, that's how much time has passed. But probably between the creation of the flood would be like us looking back at Constantine. He reigned in the around 300s, I believe. So about there, just to give you an idea. Okay, next event, the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel. This took place, Usher's date, 2241 BC, and you can read about that in Genesis chapter 11. I don't want to go in and just tell all these stories. I'm tempted to just go in, this is what they did at Tower of Babel. I'm just going to give you the dates, okay? Notice that's only about 100 years or so after the flood, according to his research. So really pretty quickly after the flood. There wasn't evidently a whole lot of time that passed. It wasn't like hundreds or thousands of years passed. Only about 100 years had passed between the flood and the Tower of Babel. The call of Abraham. So this isn't his birth. This would be when he's called to, you know, leave his family, leave his kindred, leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and go to the Promised Land. 1921 BC. So about 300 years have passed between the Tower of Babel and Abraham. That would be like us looking back on, colonial America. I guess that would be, well, it's 2000, it'd be 1712. So you'd be looking at, I think George Washington wouldn't even be born yet. It'd be how long ago that was. So yeah, he would not have been born yet. No. So that's how long ago that would be, just to put that in perspective of a time between a Tower of Babel and the call of Abraham. Okay. Of course, after Abraham, we have Isaac, Jacob. 1706 is the next kind of big date in Israel's history, and that is when Israel went down to Egypt. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 47, verses 9 through 28. That's when the whole family, Jacob and all the family, leaves the Promised Land to go down to Egypt. And we know how that turns out. They're going to end up becoming slaves in Egypt. And the date we have is about 1700 for that. Notice that's only about 200 years have passed from Abraham to that. So just to give you some perspective. Okay, so how long was it then from them going to Egypt till they left? Well, next event, the Exodus. That's 1491 BC is the date that I have for that. And there's a lot of debate about the Exodus and Joseph and this whole time span. We know a lot about Egyptian history, and it's been very well researched, and there's a lot of it, but it's not biblical history. You know, it's the history of Egypt. And as far as, how does the biblical account fit with them? It's very difficult to ascertain when these events correlated. Now there's different little clues, and we could say, well, perhaps this happened in Egypt, so maybe that was caused by what happened here. There's a pharaoh that mysteriously dies who doesn't have a heir. So, well, his heir would have died in the Passover, and he would have drowned in the Red Sea. So, of course, that's got to be him. Well, that's just kind of a supposition there. But there's a lot of debate, and the dates range, over a couple hundred year span if you go looking at this as they try to make these dates fit. But we're just going to go Usher's date, 1491 BC. So roughly a little over 200 years, again, have passed. They've been in Egypt about 200 years. And the Exodus, if you want, the book of Exodus, of course, chapter 12, verses 40 through 41 is them actually leaving. Okay, so how long did it take them to get to the Promised Land? It only took them about 40 years. 1451 BC is about the time when Israel got into and entered the Promised Land. That's in Joshua chapter 3. Everything from Exodus. It really did not take them very long to get to the Promised Land. And they stopped at Sinai. So much stuff happens at Sinai. The giving of the law and building the tabernacle and all this stuff that happens there. That really, it does not take them very long to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. Unfortunately, when the spies go in and the people, decide not to trust God, not to go in, and they wander for 40 years, that's the bulk of this time. It really would have only taken them about a year to get to the Promised Land. But no, they have to wander for 40 years. And they finally enter in Joshua chapter 3 in about 1451 BC. Now, the time following, of course, Joshua, then that gets into the time of the judges. And just to give you an idea of the judges, I'll just give you the dates of Samson's judgeship, shall we say. It's not really a reign. He's not a king. But Samson's career, we could say. These dates around 1137 to 1117 BC. You can read about that in Judges chapter 15, verse 20. Then surrounding, talking about, I think that's the verse just talks about how long he reigned. And So that'll give you an idea that that takes place, a little over 300 years or so have passed from Israel getting into the Promised Land to the time of Samson. Now, I mean, we could go on and talk about the other Gideon and other judges, but just to give you an idea, about 300 years have passed from the time Israel got into the land to Samson being judge. Now, David, when did David reign? This is kind of an important one. Well, David reigned around 1055 to 1015 BC. I don't have the references there, but it's pretty well accepted he reigned about 40 years. So 1055 to 1051. Now notice something. That's not too far removed from Samson. This is something, as I was studying this out, I was like, wait a minute. I thought there would be hundreds of years time passed. Samson seems like a whole different age from the time of David, but really there is not much time span, at least for Samson as a judge. Other judges, there's a little bit further time, but Samson kind of is one of the later judges, but there is only, a few decades had to have passed between Samson's death and the rise of Saul as king. So, I mean, just think about that. That's how quickly things have happened in that short a time span. I found that very interesting. I did not, as I was studying this, I did not realize that there's only, 60, 70 years difference between the reign. And that's the reign of David. He's already, I think, like 40 years old. He's not like he's 10 becoming king. He's a full-grown man. So, I mean, really from the birth of David to the from the death of Samson to the birth of David may have only been 30, 40 years. I mean, just think about that. That's amazing. It seems like they're just two completely different ages when you read about them in the Bible. So anyway, that's just to give you an idea of how interesting some of this is. Okay. The first temple, Solomon's temple, was built in about 1012 BC. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. So, I mean, notice, you can think about that. That's been about a little over 500 years from the Exodus. So it's not very far, just a few years removed from the death of David. David had everything ready, so for Solomon to build it. So it's just a few years past the death of David to when the temple was built. So I'll say, just to give you an idea in perspective there, about a little over 900 years from Abraham's call to that. Okay, of course, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom split, so the divided kingdom begins, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Samaria. 975 BC was the date for that, 2 Chronicles 9:30, you can read about that. So, I mean, think about that. Only about 40, 50 years have passed from the building of the temple to the kingdom division. Now, we'll jump past all the kings, and you can go in and look up all the chronology on them, but the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, the capital of Samaria, fell to Assyria. It's 721 BC, and you can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. So they, what would they have last? See, well, this is, BC dates are so much fun to play with, because you kind of, I can't even think, 250 years, I believe, 975 to 721, that'd be, about 250 years. About 250 years is how long the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, lasted. And now, the southern kingdom of Judah lasts a little bit longer. It falls to Babylon, and the first temple, Solomon's temple, is destroyed in 588 BC. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 11 through 21. So, it lasts quite a bit longer, about 140 years longer. And we can look at that, and we can see also, about 400 years have passed from the division of the kingdom to when Judah actually falls. So it lasts quite a bit longer than the northern kingdom does. And that's kind of a key date, because the first temple being destroyed, and really leads into kind of the next big period of the captivities as far as historic historical records go, you know, Nehemiah and Ezra and Esther all take place after this. Okay. The next big event, the end of the Babylonian captivity, where they're released and able to come back, that's 537 BC. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 through 23. Just to give you an idea, not too terribly long down the road. Then the second temple is finally built, Zerubbabel's temple, as it was called, in 515 BC. So they've been without a temple for roughly, you know, 70, 80 years there. You can read about that construction in Ezra chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. So, and when it talks about, there were some people still alive that had seen the first temple when they built the second one. And the first temple is so magnificent. The second temple was just, hey, we built a temple with what we had laying around. And it was so inferior to the first that the people that were still alive, who were probably 90 or 100 years old, were weeping because this just did not compare to what they had remembered. And then 454 BC, if you get into the prophecy, that would be the date that Daniel's 70 weeks begin, that count down, the 69 weeks specifically, counting down to the death of Christ when the Messiah is cut off. But the date that it kicks off is 454 BC. Now, the last book of the Old Testament was the book of Malachi. It's chronologically, and you know, that's the last book that was written, even, and it's in kind of one of the few books that's really kind of in its proper chronological place in our Bible. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It's the last book that was probably written in the Old Testament, and the date given is about 400 BC for its writing. So that kind of closes out what we call the Old Testament period. It ushers in what we're going to call the intertestament periods. Sometimes it's called the silent years. It's about a 400-year period from the close of Malachi to the birth of Christ, or the opening of the New Testament, birth of Christ, birth of John the Baptist. So there's about a 400-year, give or take, window there that the Bible is really silent on. So let me give you a couple of events that happen during this time. Of course, you know, the other empires, and I've got some dates we're going to throw in just kind of as a bonus at the end to kind of give you an idea of what's going on in world history compared to biblical history. But Alexander the Great, as he's conquering the known world, in 332 BC is when he passed through Judea. And there's legends about what happened there, that we do know he conquered Samaria. For some reason, he didn't bother with Jerusalem. And there's a legend that the priest met him, and he'd had a dream about seeing them, that they showed him in the book of Daniel prophecies that were about him, and he spared them. But we don't know. Actually, the historical detail about what happened there is very murky, but it's really strange that he just passed right on down, went towards Egypt, and didn't really mess with Jerusalem. So something happened there. But just to give you an idea, 332 BC is when Alexander the Great is running around. The Maccabean Revolt, which is after Alexander the Great comes in and rules, his kingdom splits, and actually the Ptolemies in Egypt and the after pausing and looking up, the Seleucid Empire, the Seleucids, they actually kind of were two of the kingdoms that came out of Rome, of the Alexander the Great's empire, and they actually kind of battled over the area of Israel, and different times, different groups of those were winning. Well, the Maccabean Revolt was against the I'm going blank again. The Seleucids was a revolt against them. Antiochus Epiphanes plays a big role in that, who is offers the abomination of desolation. It talks about him back in the book of Daniel, prophesies about him. He comes into play, and the Jews revolt and set up their own kingdom again. They actually gain some independence. It's a very fragile independence. They basically end up striking a deal with the Seleucids. They end up even kind of keeping their independence, you know, through deals with like Cleopatra and Rome. And it's to say it's an independent Jewish state, it was, but yeah, it was very fragile. And basically the followers of the Maccabees were the, I talk about the dates, 167 to 160 BC was the actual revolt. And then after that, the rulers over Israel was kind of that family, that Maccabean family, what's known as the Hasmonean dynasty, after their family name. The Maccabean is more of a descriptive term. It's not the family name. But they actually ruled, and there were Jewish rulers ruling over a Jewish kingdom from about 160 to about 40 BC, or roughly. So, I mean, you think about 120-year span there, you had a Jewish state. This is something a lot of Bible teachers will miss because they don't study history. They'll just tell you, you know, boy, after the Babylonians came in, they were never independent. They're not going to be independent until the Millennial Kingdom. No, they kind of had a brief little resurgence here. And like I say, it's not near the glory days of what they had under David and Solomon, but they did have independence. In fact, let me throw this little thing at you. Some historians believe, under a guy named Alexander Janaeus, I hope I'm saying that name right, he ruled quite a number of years, I think about 40 years, if I remember right. Lots of coins. He made lots and lots of coins. But he actually may have controlled as large or larger of an area than even Solomon did. And anyway, just to throw that out at you, you can study that. It's kind of, we overlook it. Jewish people, you know, are very familiar with this point in history, but you know, we as Christians just skip right over those silent years. It's like nothing happened between Malachi and Matthew. No, a lot happened. A lot happened. And then finally, we have the reign of Herod the Great, who comes into power, who's not a Jew. He's actually an Idumean, that's Edom. He comes into play and rules as king over his kingdom, which is basically Judea, with, you know, various other things. It's very complicated. About 37 to 4 BC, 37 to the year 4 BC. And that kind of will close out what we'll call the intertestament period. Now let's look at the New Testament period. And I've just got a few little events here. The birth of Christ took place about 4 BC. Now, when they originally set up the calendar, the years we use now, you know, the BC and AD year system, the guys that set it up thought they had calculated that Jesus was born at 1 BC. Well, better scholarship pretty much agrees that they were off just by a few years, and that Jesus was actually born around 4, maybe 5 BC. But most historians will not say that Jesus was born in 1 AD like they set up the calendar to reflect. So most of the time you'll see a date for about 4 BC. Read about that in Luke chapter 2. The crucifixion of Christ. Now, Christ lived about 33 and a half years. Now, this is where I really differ from the chronology in Usher. Usher and other people will give a date for about 27 AD for the baptism of Christ by John and the beginning of his ministry. Well, I've always been taught that the ministry of Christ was about 3.5 years long. And from what I understand, that's a pretty well accepted, you know, close estimate. And basically that, you know, from the baptism, he immediately went out. The Bible talks about him being about 30 years of age. And if you throw a 3.5 year ministry on top of that, that means he was probably crucified in around the year 30 AD. Most reference works will give you a date of about 33 AD, and they'll go back and they'll still show you a before BC birthday. So that would mean that Christ was actually about 36 when he died. So I like to go with the date of about AD 30. Most of the time, the people have really tried to go back and set a date. I mean, nail down a date. They focus on 32, 33, 34 AD. And like I said, they may be right. I'm not totally just throwing that out the window. I'm just saying I kind of feel a little bit more comfortable based on what I know, giving it a little bit earlier date of about 30. Now, I could be wrong, and that's some speculation on my part. There are some reference works that I've seen as I've studied this out that support that. But it's just kind of a guess. The birth of Christ, we get a lot better. We can actually really date it a lot better because we know it had to happen with the death of Herod the Great. We can tie that to that, unless you assume that the Herod is talking about is not Herod the Great, but it's one of his children, and then it gets really goofy. But and that happens, by the way, when you get into some of these uberly critical writers out there. But if you assume that the Herod of the Bible, the Herod that slaughtered the innocents, the Herod that met the wise men was Herod the Great, and when you study Herod the Great, that paranoia that is reflected there fits with the final days of Herod. So I think it is. He died in about 4 BC, so Christ had to have been born in about 4 BC. And so that makes crucifixion about, if he lived 33 and a half years, crucifixion is about 30. So that's just simple math. That's what I come up with. But anyway, 30, 33, somewhere in there. Okay. The next big event we'll look at, after Christ, we'd get into the book of Acts. Paul's missionary journeys, we'll just lump them all together, take place between about 44 and 58 AD. And you can read about those in the book of Acts. I don't give a reference on those, but that just give you a time frame about, 14 to 28 years, 25 years or so after the crucifixion is when Paul is traveling. Now, Paul died, and there's even debate on this, but somewhere probably around 68. So about AD 68, about 10 years after his third missionary journey. That's assuming a lot that, maybe he was released and traveled some more, but somewhere in the mid 60s is when he was beheaded. I am pretty sure it's before 70. So I feel very comfortable any date, probably 65 to 68, somewhere in there. It just makes a lot of sense from what I know. Why 70 AD? Why is it so important? Well, you see, between 66 and 70, there was a little thing called the Jewish Revolt going on. And the Jews had revolted against Rome. They were in full rebellion. And Rome came down in fury on them. And it was vicious, vicious fighting. And it took years and a lot of resources. And Rome kind of tried to downplay that, it's like, oh, this little rebellion over there in this little, backwoods place. But it really took the might of the empire to squash this rebellion. And basically, they end up wiping Israel and Judea off the map. Almost. Let me get ahead of myself. Because then you get in the Bar Kokhba revolt, which is the 130s. That after that, they don't even call it Judea. They call it Palestine. After that, they were just done with these Jews. But 66 to 70 is the bulk of the Jewish rebellion. 70 is the important year because that is when Jerusalem fell. Vespasian began as the general kind of in charge of the rebellion. Well, he ends up, Nero's died. They've had the year four emperors. He ends up becoming emperor. And his son Titus is left to kind of mop things up in, I think it's 69 AD is when Vespasian becomes emperor. And basically Titus is left to finish up the rebellion. And he ends up finally taking Jerusalem in the year 70, and the temple is destroyed. Herod's what was Zerubbabel's temple that Herod during his lifetime began a building program, and basically since the time of Herod there have been renovations going, and they have been building and adding on to the temple complex and beautifying it. All of that is destroyed in the year 70. It's gone, wiped off the face of the earth. If you go to Jerusalem nowadays, when you want to see, well, what are the ruins of Herod's temple? Basically, there is just the Wailing Wall, it's not the temple. It's a wall that was, not even around the temple itself, but it was part of the complex, and that's all that's left. Anything else you see that is an old ruin, a lot of it dates to the time of Hadrian in the 130s and like 150, where they rebuilt Jerusalem. And so there's not a lot left. I mean, they're really excited when they are able to find any type of structure that from, the first century, because the Romans just cleaned the place up in the year 70. Okay, final event here we'll throw at you is that the last apostle, the last living apostle, is commonly accepted to be John. He probably wrote the book Revelation somewhere around 90, and the year 90, and he died somewhere around the year 100. He was the youngest apostle, and pretty much history and tradition agrees that he lived to be a ripe old age and probably died somewhere around the year 100. So I hope that's been a help to you, just give you an idea of some dates and some time, how much time has passed between different events. I say it's kind of a rough outline. There's a lot more we could go into. We could get a lot more detail, but we just don't have the time or space. And I if you aren't already bored, you would be bored if we kept going. Now, let me throw some historical things at you. I'm going to get my stuff ready on the computer. I'm going to throw just a few dates at you just to give you an idea about how things would relate. Just some popular, I don't know if I got a list here of about 15 things. Just some dates and how these things would have related, and give you an idea of what's going on in the world, in Greece and Rome, probably more than any other, but just give you some ideas of what's going on and kind of how it relate in a timeline to what's going on in the Bible. Now, the Great Pyramid, actually, the kind of a controversial date I found was 2470 BC, and that would give it a little bit older than the flood. So I wouldn't go with that date, but it actually dates back probably, I'd say the time of Abraham, probably shortly after the Tower of Babel. We could probably say 2000s BC, probably pretty safe on that one. Hammurabi, the famous guy who had a code, he reigned of 1792 to 1750 BC, so a little bit before Israel went into Egypt. This would have been the time of Isaac and Jacob. Okay, next major thing, the Trojan War. You might remember that from the Iliad. That took place from 1194 to 1184 BC, somewhere in there. So that would have taken place, let's see, during the time of the Judges, actually a little bit before Samson. So during the time of the Judges was when the Trojan War would have happened. Homer, the famous Greek poet, lived and wrote somewhere in the 700s BC. So we can say, right after, about the time that Samaria is falling to Assyria, that's when Homer would have been writing. The first coins appear in the Lydia region up in modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor for you Roman history buffs. Kind of a little bit of dispute, but somewhere between 700, 550 BC, probably more towards the later date. So really, as the Babylonian captivity is kicking off, that's when the very first coins are being produced. The city of Rome is founded somewhere between 758 and 728 BC, so also same thing, kind of the In the last days of Samaria is when Rome is being established. The Great Wall of China, the first sections of it were constructed around 600 BC or so, from what I can tell. Now, they continually added and built more, but the oldest sections evidently are about 600 BC. So that's about the time that the first temple is destroyed. The Babylonian captivity begins. Nebuchadnezzar, the guy who went in there and conquered them, he lived from 630... Yeah, he lived, that's right, on this one, 634 to 562 BC. So just, you know, kind of give you an idea of his life. Give you an idea, some famous guys. Socrates lived 469 to 399. Plato lived from 424 to 348. Aristotle lived from 384 to 322. So those guys were alive and writing kind of as the Babylonian captivity is, it's come to a close. This is about the same time as the last of the prophets. You know, about 400 BC would be when Malachi was written. So as the Old Testament is wrapping up is when Socrates and Plato were coming on the scene. And then Aristotle's a little bit later than that. So kind of in the beginning of the the Inner Testament period. Okay, Greek history, the Parthenon in Athens was built between 448 and 432 BC. I think it's gone through some renovations and stuff, but that's kind of when they started building it. So that places it, you know, also the end, kind of the end of the Old Testament period. Alexander the Great, we give a date on when he came to Judea, but he lived between 356 and 323 BC. Just a couple other fun dates. Hannibal, the famous guy with the elephants who was fighting Rome, that war actually, which was what, the second Peloponnesian War? What do you call it? I've gone blank. Anyway, Hannibal, when he's up there in Rome, and in fact, the whole battle there against, you know, Carthage, and with Hannibal running around in Italy, and then the fall of Carthage, that's between 218 and 201 BC. So right in the middle of that intertestament period, a little bit older than the Maccabean Revolt. Julius Caesar lived from 100 to 44 BC. So, you know, the Maccabeans have already revolted. The Jews have their, you know, their kind of independent state. That's when Julius Caesar was alive. Herod the Great would have been alive, you know, during the later life of Julius Caesar. And Herod the Great actually has ties to Cleopatra and Mark Antony and Octavian. He pops up in historical records, you know, getting favor with them. So, you know, he can read about them. He's actually an interesting guy. I'd love to just do a... I may do it. I need to do a series or at least a lesson, maybe in this, on Herod the Great and kind of just explain his whole family tree through the New Testament. It's very interesting, very confusing, and lots of blood. It's great. The Great Fire of Rome that Nero blamed on the Christians, that's 64 AD. And then the Roman Colosseum, the most famous landmark, I guess, in Rome. It was built between 70 and 80 AD, and that actually was built by the Flavian dynasty, that Vespasian and Titus and Domitian. That was built kind of by them. It's called the Flavian Amphitheater, if you want its proper name. But the Colosseum was built by them with the money they made from the war against in the Jewish revolt, all from the sack of the temple, a lot of it, the temple money, the riches that were there. It's very likely, you know, that helped pay for the construction of the Colosseum. So anyway, I hope that's been interesting to you. It's gone way longer than I expected. Of course, they all do that nowadays. But I hope you've stuck with me and give you something interesting. I hope I've been able to kind of give you an idea, just the chronology of things, and hopefully kind of piqued your interest to kind of study this out. So anyway, that's lesson number one in our Bible History and Customs series. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. I hope you're still asleep, and I hope you don't give up on me. They're not all going to be this dry and boring in dates. Trust me, we're going to get into some really cool stuff later on. I'm Matthew Gage. I appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time.